Bickley and Murata. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
Oh, we kick off the 9 o'clock hour with some social studies back where she belongs. Sarah Cazell.
Yes.
Hey. Thank you for coming back.
How was social studies on Friday? I didn't get the chance to listen. Did you run us through it, Jarrett?
It was fine.
It's too much me when you're not here.
How is that different from any other day?
Yeah, that night.
Oh, yeah, because it goes into 9:30 sports kebab, and when that was over, Jarrett, hey, I got a song for you, too.
I forgot I spent 4 minutes producing a parody song.
You want to commandeer any more airtime, you scruffy mongrel?
Scruffy mongrel. Great band name. Wow. Sorry, Jarrett. I didn't see that coming. No, I did not.
No.
I'm out of practice. All right, welcome to Social Studies, everyone. We are back on this Victory Monday. Oh, that was funny.
Stuff got weird.
Yeah. We do it every day at 9 o'clock here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. We get social with you on Twitter, so if you're not following us already, @Bickley_Murata is where you can find us. We post the questions, you share your answers. I read my favorite ones over the air. And as always, on this Victory Monday, we are starting off by asking for Dan and Vince, your big takeaways from yesterday's Cardinals-Texans game. First of all, what was the biggest positive you saw? And then what was the biggest negative?
Biggest positive for me, and I wrote briefly about this, and we have a rapid reactions piece on ArizonaSports.com, and the first thing that popped into my head about this year's Cardinals was that now we've seen it, really, in the Jacksonville game and the Houston game, when this team plays down to the level of its competition, they're able to snap out of it.
Yeah,
it lasted a little bit longer against Jacksonville than it did yesterday. But with the way that game started, if you would have told me they were going to win by 26, I would have told you you're nuts. Because they just looked completely out of sync.
Yes.
But they're able to right the ship in the course of a game, and that's a really good sign moving forward.
Yeah, that's I like that. I think I'm going to vote along those same lines because even Cliff Kingsbury said it after the game that at times when this offense has kind of gotten into a rut or in games in which the Cardinals are struggling, he finds a way to make plays and he finds a way to get them out of it. And he did it yesterday while taking more punishment than I've ever seen. So really kind of speaks to his emotional maturity and his comfort level as a quarterback.
100%. Now, does it bug you guys that the Cardinals, with all of the talent that they have, they do still play down to the level of their competition, even though that also means they play up to the level of their competition as well, you know, with the Rams and coming up the Packers? Does that bug you, or is it just part of the game?
It's part of the game. It's the NFL. And they're all professionals. It's supposed to be even ground, even though yesterday really wasn't.
Yeah.
But the Texans have a win to their credit. It doesn't bug me. It just comes with the territory. It can be frustrating, but no. I just think it comes with the territory.
That was nice of you to credit them with their one single win. All right. Biggest positives.
It was against Urban Meyer's Jaguars, though, so it should only count for half a win.
I remember. True. Biggest positive, biggest negatives in yesterday's game. Dante says the biggest positive was it's another win. That's all that matters. The biggest negative, see the entire first quarter, please. Herbie Autobot, positive, this team can win in many ways. Negative, Kyler took way too many hits, Dan, as you just pointed out. Daryl E. going straight to the negative, Josh Jones is a liability on the line. Furthermore, I recant every one of those weekly questions where I've chosen anyone other than Rodney Hudson most important.
Right?
I can't get back to that fast enough.
At least one more game without Rodney Hudson, at least.
Yeah, a lot of people giving Rodney Hudson some love and responses.
In the NFL, and I use this line in my column today, that sometimes the most dangerous thing is a bad team that is still playing really hard.
Mm.
Because as a football player in a violent sport, if you're playing somebody you know is your equal or maybe your superior, your attention level, your adrenaline, everything, you're on point.
Yes.
You're playing a team that you don't fear. Well, the lack of fear brings you down a little bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So when you're playing a bad team that's playing real hard, it can take you a while to kind of
yet still got to get on notice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So they need to play the Jets is what you're trying to tell me. A bad team.
The Zach Wilson-less Jets, who's out with a PCL injury, yes. Tulsa Trail Bum says the positive is the team dealt well with adversity. That's what everyone's been saying. The negative is the team had to deal with adversity against the Texans. Yeah. All right, next question. We spend a lot of time talking about the stars for the Arizona Cardinals, and there are many to choose from. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, etc. But let's now give some love to the unsung heroes or the underrated players of the Arizona Cardinals team this year. Open-ended question. Who do you think is the most underrated player on the team this season?
Most underrated on the team? Oof.
That's a tough question.
The first name that popped into my head, Robert Alford.
Hmm. Ooh.
He's been...
So many questions about him before the season.
Yeah.
Not that we didn't know he was going to be good.
When he got hurt that second time, I thought, wow, what an unfortunate turn of events that they went out and they signed this guy who was raring to go and two seasons gone. I thought when that second injury happened, he would never play for the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. Not only did they bring him back on a lesser deal, he's been really solid, and he kind of fits that whole physical mold of the defensive secondary too. He's been able to, you know, he's been very willing to mix it up. That's the first name that popped into my head.
Yeah, I would have said Marcus Golden prior to yesterday, but then there was no, everyone is kind of recognizing him now. I like Robert Alford. That's a Good call, Vinny.
Yeah, that is a good one. Marcus Golden is getting a lot of praise today, and I don't know if it's, you know, just because of yesterday's game, but JD, for example, says Watt gets most of the national love for the D-line performance, and rightfully so, but Marcus Golden is a beast out there and really creating a lot of opportunities for others. Chewy shouts out Marco Wilson. He is holding his own for being a rookie and someone who is not getting enough credit in that secondary. In that same arena, Jalen Thompson getting a shout out from Arizonan. Arizonan writes, he is everywhere that Buda Baker can't be. I like the way he phrases it. Phil Watson giving love to Isaiah Simmons. He's leading the team in tackles after all. And then let's see. Last one, Matt Prater says Blue Bug Records. He has been super solid.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
Yeah. Final question. Now look,
Andy Lee's a good vote, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's
Andy
a good
Lee
vote,
get a
too.
Mention or two.
Yeah,
as
that's
well,
a good
punter.
Vote.
Yeah.
It's just nice having such solid special teams all around.
No kidding.
Yes. Finally, squeezing in our last question, looking ahead to Thursday night football, previewing it only the way we can with social studies, a food question, but not pertaining to cheese. Which is usually
not
how
yet.
People would take
not
it. Not yet. We'll
not
get there. We'll
it's
get
only
there.
Monday.
That's right. Jarrett Carlin wants to know, I'm not putting my name on this question, which color grouping of fruit is more delicious?
Oh, my goodness.
Is what? It red, as in strawberries, raspberries, cherries, red grapes, red apples, etc.? Or is it green? Kiwi.
Are you getting
honeydew?
Are you getting paid by Big Fruit, by the way?
Big fruit. Oh, you know how Big Fruit goes.
Big Fruit.
Green apples.
You're in their pocket.
That's Phruit.
I'm under the thumb of Big Fruit.
We live in Phoenix, Arizona. This could have been which is more delicious, red enchilada sauce or green enchilada sauce.
Oh,
it is Monday, red. Fellas and Dame.
And Dame? Fellas and Dame?
Dame Ruthless?
Guys and doll, it's only Monday. We have plenty of questions to get through the week.
Oh, my phone ringing. It's HR.
Okay, so are we going red or green?
Jared's saying, come on, it's only Monday. You don't know I do any work for Monday.
No, there's other food questions coming for the rest of the week.
I'm sure that enchilada sauce won the show.
Best cheeses? What are you voting for, Carlin?
For cheese or fruit?
Cheese.
Oh, best cheese? I don't want to give it away, but depends what you're eating.
The whole valley is waiting with bated breath. The answer to the question you asked today
Manchego
on social studies, it's red.
Yeah,
easily
it's
red.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So does 92%.
Great question.
Of the poll.
The show is that's one vote for the Cardinals.
Yeah, exactly. Red, green, pitting those two together. But including kiwi and honeydew, I think really adds to
both
the green.
Delicious.
Yes. Because without
honeydew
it,
sucks.
The rest of it is just too sour.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But kiwi and honeydew, I'm like, oh, yeah. I have to think about it.
A green grape is superior to a red grape.
I disagree.
That
yeah.
I agree when
a
it's ready.
A crisp green grape?
When it's ready to be eaten. And that is social studies.
Again, getting to the heart of the issues.
Oh, yeah.
We've been studied.
We have issues. Social studies. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Every day at 9 o'clock with Sarah Cazell. Bickley _ Murata on Twitter was where all that goes down. You can get lower level tickets for just $19.87 to see ASU football host Washington State on Saturday, October 30th. Just text Devils to 620-620. We'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's Devils to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports Sun Devil Special. Coming up more on this Big Red Monday after a big Cardinals win over Houston to go 7-0. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Code Red.
Did you order the Code Red?
It's a Code Red at the farm. And Bickley and Murata are announcing the winner of another pair of Cards pack tickets now.
You're right, we ordered the Code Red. We're ordering another one right now. Attention, Cardinals fans, it's time for our next Code Red qualifier. And the name we are looking for, Christian Curtis from Phoenix. Christian Curtis, you've got 10 minutes to give us a call at 602-260-9870 to get your tickets to Cardinals-Packers Thursday. If Christian fails to do so, we'll open up the phone lines to someone else. If you didn't hear your name, you can still win by texting RED to 620-620 and listen for your name. Tomorrow, we'll call them out again in the 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock hours. But your time is now. Christian Curtis from Phoenix, 10 minutes to call, 602-260-9870.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Bickley and Murata.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a heck of a ball game. We know Aaron Rodgers is one of the best players ever in this league, and he's going to come in and be ready to roll. They had a great game today, so it'll be a great, great matchup for both teams.
That is what is looming for the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury talking to Paul Calvisi yesterday on the Cardinals Radio Network following a 26-point win over the Texans. The Green Bay Packers are coming to town. Winners of six straight. They were awful in week one against the Saints, but they have completely turned it around, and they are right in the mix. Bick, I don't remember a time where this far into a season, there was this many teams that have elevated their place.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big group of what could be elite teams in one conference.
Without a doubt.
Compare it to the AFC, where every week they're sort of, they fall off a little bit. Buffalo loses,
yep.
Baltimore
yeah.
loses.
I mean, who's the hot team in the hottest team that everybody's talking about this week in the AFC is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah,
or the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Buffalo had two shutouts in the first 4 weeks. Everyone's like, oh, they're great. And everyone's like, oh, the Chiefs, they'll get around to it. Doesn't matter if they got five losses. Right. They're still number one.
The Chargers are the
mess.
Best team.
Yeah.
They're
a mess.
The Chargers then got blown out by Baltimore,
yeah.
who then got blown out by Cincinnati.
Right.
You're right. The
right.
NFC, the top teams just keep winning.
This Ja'Marr Chase kid, after whatever dropsy issues he had last year.
Well, it was preseason. He couldn't catch a cold in preseason. And remember, at draft time, too, when the Bengals chose Ja'Marr Chase and they didn't take Penei Sewell to protect Joe Burrow, they mm-hmm. got raked over the coals.
Yep.
Not to say
yep.
Penei Sewell is not going to be good. Ja'Marr Chase is ridiculous.
Oh,
that play
man.
He had yesterday, that 82-yard
yeah.
touchdown,
oh, yeah.
there's not a lot of guys that can make that play.
No, and I'm glad you brought up the whole Penei Sewell thing, because they were getting criticized. Oh, you draft a guy like Joe Burrow, you don't even get a foundational tackle for him? Well, he's got himself a foundational receiver. Here's one other thing that from yesterday that I'm really kind of... There has been this narrative, and I've believed in it, okay, that Cliff Kingsbury was the worst coach in the NFC West and Kyle Shanahan, one of the elite coaches in the sport of football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we saw the arrogance of the 49ers during that whole trading up for who you draft and all that kind of thing. The more and more you think about it, what Kyle Shanahan did with Trey Lance in his one game as a starter was derelict.
Irresponsible.
Allowing him to run the way he did. He gained 89 yards, but Kyle Shanahan had no concern for his well-being, no concern for his development as a quarterback. Dude sprained his knee in that game, and he has not been heard from since. Hasn't been seen since. That's reckless coaching. That's stupid coaching. You got a young kid that you drafted third overall, and now you want him to win a game, and you take advantage of the fact that this kid is going to sell out in every play. Trey Lance, out of all these young quarterbacks, is the youngest and the furthest away, in my opinion. And yet, Kyle Shanahan let him do that against a Cardinal defense that hit him and hit him and hit him. And now yesterday, when asked who's your quarterback, is Jimmy Garoppolo your quarterback next week?
I'd guess so.
So, you know what? No love for Kyle Shanahan. I'm off that train. Okay, that to me is... That's a coach who went from being incredibly effective to incredibly full of himself overnight.
Look at that. Christian Curtis. Johnny on the spot called in under 4 minutes. Way to go, Christian.
2 for 3 today.
Two for three on Code Red. So we will not open up the phone lines again for somebody to call in and claim those tickets.
And one thing I'm telling all these people when they call in is make sure to wear red to the game on Thursday. That's the whole point of this
thing. That's the whole point.
Drown out all those Packers fans.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be a bite, though, if the Cardinals opted to wear their black jerseys on Thursday after all this?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you've got the Bengals in first place, and you've got the Raiders, who are 2-0 after John Gruden resigned.
Yeah, that's true.
Football, man. Nothing like it.
It's the sport of kings. Better than diamond rings.
Yeah.
That's why we're here to sing about football.
After week one of the NFL season, people were marginalizing the Cardinals' victory over the Titans. Oh, the Titans' defense is horrible. Okay. Chiefs scored 3 points off them yesterday.
Well, can we talk about what a mess the Chiefs are?
Yeah.
I think finally you made reference to it kind of in a snarky way. Oh, the Chiefs will be fine. Don't look at their record. They'll put it together. They scored 3 points.
3 points.
With Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think that was possible.
They're a disaster right now.
I know. Yeah, and it's I don't know what I don't know what it means.
There may be some power polls that have the Cardinals ahead of the Chiefs this week.
Maybe. Except the ones who don't believe in the air raid offense.
I can't wait to see Gary Gramling's offering this week. Cardinals beat the Texans by 26, but they weren't impressive. They're number 9 this week.
Yeah.
It was not a quality win.
You could text
the Chiefs got a quality loss by losing to one of a first-place team.
You could text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, Monday, that means we hand out hardware. That's straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata mornings on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, final half hour of the show on this Victory Monday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, and Jarrett Carlin. We are Bickley and Murata Mornings. Let's go to arizonasports.com for the poll question. Looking ahead to Thursday night, what is your confidence level for the Cardinals to beat the Packers on Thursday night football? 3 options to vote on. The first is I am very confident that they will beat the Packers. They are primed to pull off another big win. The next option, I am somewhat confident Green Bay is very good and it's a toss-up of a game. Last option, I am not confident the Cardinals are due for a loss and there are worrying signs.
I'm voting for B. I'm confident, but I'm not convinced.
Is that based on how the Cardinals started out against the Texans yesterday, or do you already feel that way?
No, I think it's more of this is by far and away the most quarterback they have faced this season. And that team's won 6 games in a row, and it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's exactly my thought. Aaron Rodgers plus Green Bay is a good football team. I'm confident in what the Cardinals have put out there for 7 straight weeks, but the competition's pretty tough.
All right, we are voting for somewhat confident, and oh yes, 58% of the voters right now on arizonasports.com also went with somewhat confident. 32% say they are very confident in the Cardinals. Only 10% say they are not confident that the Cardinals will beat the Packers on Thursday.
All right. You can vote on that now. Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata handing out the hardware.
Hardware is our version of the award show. We just don't wear tuxes. That's the only only difference, really.
Oh, yeah, the only difference.
It's the only difference.
Yeah.
It's brought to you by Revitalize. Make changes that can last a lifetime with Revitalize. Call them today at 480-435-3557 or schedule online at revitalizeweightloss.com. Bic, your first award.
First award is the Wrong Answer Award, Vinny, and I'm giving it to Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, who, when asked if he could order one beer, what would it be? He said,
I don't like beer.
He said, whatever's cold. Whatever's cold. Wrong answer.
You would not like my mom's philosophy on beer. My late mother, God rest her soul,
mm-hmm.
her favorite beer was whatever was on sale.
Oh. Right.
Oh, boy.
Right, right.
Whatever's cold for Bill, huh?
At least you got to remember, when it comes to beer and other things, generally it's whatever is stale is on sale. Whatever's been sitting around a long time is on sale.
Whatever is flat, you can get a deal on that.
Yeah, there you go. Right?
I experienced that over the weekend. I had one beer with a dinner that I had, and it was just, I wonder how long the keg had been sitting there.
Yeah, yuck.
Didn't even finish it. My first award is the Accomplishment Award, and I'm giving it to Chris Paul of the Phoenix Suns, who over the weekend became the first NBA player ever to have 20,000 career points and 10,000 assists. He will be joined later this year by LeBron James, but Chris Paul got there first, and it was pretty cool. He got the game ball from Monty Williams afterwards, got all the congratulations from his teammates, and then he showed up for his media session holding the ball, and he was like a little kid.
Yeah, like a kid, man. You know, when you get done playing this game, sometimes you want to have things to remember things. You know what I mean? And so I'm gonna keep this for sure.
I mean, pretty rare air right there.
Yeah,
and well deserving. He's been phenomenal. And the more I watch Chris Paul play basketball, the more I enjoy watching him play basketball. He's on a different level from a basketball intellectual standpoint.
And he'll be joined by LeBron James later this year, unless all the Lakers beat up each other on the sideline. And
yeah, that's
compete.
Right.
Just true.
That's right. The My Bad Award I'm giving to Tampa Bay wide receiver Mike Evans, who caught Tom Brady's 600th touchdown pass and gave the ball to a fan in the stands. Now, how do you get that back? Well, I'm sure it's going to be an autographed picture, an autographed jersey.
Apparently, what I read is that they did get the ball
already
back. And I think the asking or the settlement was a $1,000 gift card to the Buccaneers team shop.
Oh.
$1,000 to the team shop?
That's nothing. You know what that ball would have been worth had he kept it?
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
Nothing even autographed from Tom Brady?
Wow.
No, you could buy an autographed jersey at the team shop. No.
Yeah, you probably could.
Yeah. Mike Evans' reaction to that was classic, though. His face was like, I gave away the ball.
I know it was. I saw that. It was wonderful.
My next award is the Good Spirit Award, and I'm giving it to the Golden State Warriors. They had a little fun with Klay Thompson, who was, in some people's eyes, snubbed from the 75th anniversary team of the NBA. So what did they do? They had a jersey made up for Klay Thompson, number 77, as being the 77th best player in the history.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? I know that. See, that's good. That's a sign of a good chemistry. When a guy gets snubbed like that and you can come at him like that, that's good stuff, right?
Do you think Klay Thompson is a top 75 player of all time?
No, I definitely do
not. Why wasn't it 76?
Somebody was better than him.
Yeah,
I think they did put out, like, here are the guys who just missed the cut.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and he was number two on that list. Dwight Howard probably was 76.
Yeah. Wow. All right, the Marketers of the Week Award, Vinny, I'm giving to the University of Kansas. When they were up 17-7 in the third quarter against Oklahoma, they put out a tweet telling everybody in, are they Lawrence or are they Manhattan?
Yes.
Lawrence.
They're Lawrence. They told everybody in Lawrence, the stadium doors are open, no tickets required, come join us. And apparently, nobody took them up on it.
Yeah, there were a lot of empty seats at that game. And they actually played pretty well.
They did.
They had Oklahoma on the road. I actually thought Oklahoma was so bad in the first half.
How bad were they?
I thought it was going to be a Spencer Rattler to the rescue comeback kind of situation.
Oh,
I saw that tweet.
He didn't play.
Did you watch that game?
I did.
It actually took a crazy play by Oklahoma at the very, very end of the game to prevent.
That was a fourth down, right?
Yeah.
And they hand off to Kennedy Brooks, and he gets stuffed. And while he's getting stuffed, Caleb Williams, the quarterback, runs up to him, and Kennedy Brooks takes the ball from him and runs for a first down. I've never seen that before. Yeah. They had to review
it. The refs didn't even know what to do.
No. My next award is the This Man Is Ready for Halloween Award, and I'm giving it to Bick's favorite, Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach. Did you see this?
I did.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy
game?
Corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. when I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
The gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
She, like, had to take the microphone for him.
The band is getting louder and louder.
He was really passionate about
that. What is better about sprees in a box as opposed to sprees in the roll? I haven't had spree in for. I haven't even seen
only
them
real
in
candy
years.
Heads know.
He's right. A candy head.
The fact that he still seeks them out at the dollar store.
Oh,
it's got to be better.
Hi, Coach Leach. You ready for your spree?
Wow,
that's fantastic.
The Hockey Town Award, Vinny, I'm giving to the city of Chicago because I just read this. The Chicago Blackhawks had a sellout streak end at 535 games. You imagine that?
There's a reason why. They're awful. They're worse than the Coyotes.
Whoa.
That's saying something.
They have set a new record, the Blackhawks. 360 minutes and 57 seconds of hockey to start the season. They have not had a lead yet.
I saw that stat. I forgot about that.
It's a new record.
Wow.
Yeah. You can relate to that because that was a religion for a long time in Chicago.
Yeah.
My last award is the You Thirsty Award.
Uh-oh.
And I'm giving it to a fan at the Baltimore Ravens game. She was very thirsty, so she tried to do something about it, and that something was climbing into the broadcast booth to ask for a beer.
Tyler Boyd has it for a short gain out to the 34-yard line. Again, impressive coverage by Anthony Avery.
What are you doing?
That's Obafemi Iyanbidejo, the color commentator.
Femi.
Yes. They ran the next play. It was like 30 seconds of dead air. Then they ran the next play, and then Jerry Sandusky, the play-by-play announcer, described what was going on.
And that is
going
to force the punt team on. If you were listening, you heard Femi say, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" He was not talking to the players or the coaches. We actually had a fan who was trying to climb into the broadcast booth. She said, "I'm a veteran, and I'm looking for a drink."
Yeah, I don't serve drinks at the game. I might make some cocktails at home, but this is not the right time or place.
Wow. What is the matter with people?
People at football games just have nothing in terms of decorum anymore.
Finally, really quick, my last award is I'd rather watch paint dry with an ice pick in my ear, and I'm giving it to the Big Ten, a conference that can't even make a 9 overtime game exciting.
They hit the under.
By the way, the new overtime rules are so stupid.
Oh, the series of
somehow
two-point conversions?
So dumb.
Yeah.
Somehow worse.
The winning quarterback for that game,
yeah.
Arthur Sitkowski of Illinois, for the entire game, 8 of 19 for 38 yards and an interception.
What a joke.
And they won the game.
That football in that conference, it's just the worst.
Still better than the Pac-12. There you go. There's Hardware. We do it on Mondays. Coming up next, also what we do on Mondays following another Cardinals win. A little Big Red Crosstalk with Wolf and Luke. That's next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM. Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Wolf and Luke. Big Red Monday Crosstalk.
drops back to throw. Standing in the pocket. Now throws a deep ball near side in traffic. It's caught by A.J. Green at the 5, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 4-yard line. What a throw by Kyler Murray on 3rd and 24. They pick up 42 yards.
Yeah, Dave Pasch on the call. For all the jaw-dropping things that Kyler Murray has done in a Cardinal uniform in 3 seasons, that one, I don't know why I had the most visceral reaction to that particular throw to A.J. Green. Led to a touchdown. Cardinals win again, 31-5. That's the score that everybody predicted, I'm sure. Here to talk about it with us in studio, a little crosstalk with Wolf and Luke on this Big Red Monday. Boys, how are you?
What's going on, Wolf?
Your reaction to that throw, Wolf, the 41-yarder?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. It really was. It showed so much of Kyler Murray and his development for the most part. Looking off that safety, was holding that safety. As a matter of fact, they had two safeties high. Imagine that now. Two safeties splitting up the middle of the field, the deep middle, splitting it up with two safeties right there, taking half the field. He stared the one guy down, looked right at him the whole time, and then knew that A.J. Green was running that fade, and man, he put it in there. If you notice, he didn't put a lot of height on that ball. He put a lot of zip on that ball going in there, which shows the cognition, once again, of what he was thinking. He was holding that safety and knew, I got to get this thing on a line into A.J. Green, which is what he did, and it makes it so much easier when you got a guy who's 6'4".
Absolutely. On the flip side, and Bick and I have spent a lot of the morning talking about what wasn't great about yesterday, and that was the amount of punishment that Kyler Murray took yesterday, Luke. Mm-hmm. I think he took some of the biggest shots he's taken as a pro quarterback, but persevered, kept the right attitude. Maybe the level of competition had something to do with it, but that had to be an uneasy feeling, not only watching Kyler Murray get hit like that, but having to go into the tent.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when every Cardinals fan kind of hit the low point of the season. If you're losing to the Texans 2-0 and you're worried about your quarterback, because everything they mm-hmm. do, and I know this is the same for most teams, but especially with the Cardinals right now, it's heightened because you are undefeated, and you just mentioned that throw to A.J. Green and the way this offense looks. You add Zach Ertz. I don't think you can stop this offense this season as long as Kyler Murray's healthy. The only way that I think the Cardinals are going to be you're going to have issues on offense ever is if Kyler Murray goes down, because then all the other weapons are obviously neutralized a little bit. If they stay healthy, or specifically if he stays healthy, they can even probably afford to lose a guy. As long as he stays healthy, they're going to keep moving the ball.
Which is why I did not like those designed runs with Kyler Murray yesterday. There's plenty of other weapons to kind of lean on. Wolf, I want to ask you this, because I was vibing with what you were saying last week about getting Zach Ertz is a great addition to the offense. There's no doubt about it, but he's not the blocker Max Williams is. And what will that mean to the point of attack? Will the level of physicality be the same? Offensive line struggled yesterday. What do you make of all of that? Was that more a condition of Josh Jones having a bad day and Max Garcia struggling, or was it maybe some of this?
Yeah, I really do believe, Danny, it was the offensive line for the most part. I have to tell you right now, I was so disappointed. I was like, okay, you know what? This team has got great leadership. It's got great physicality. We've seen that through the first 6 games of the season right now. I want to see them come out like they did against the Cleveland Browns, because I think leadership won that game for the Arizona Cardinals against the Cleveland Browns, to come out and be ready to ball out the way they were in that first quarter. Well, I think we'd all agree yesterday the first quarter was, I haven't seen anything, mm-hmm. especially from the offensive line, anything close to that bad since Sean Kugler has been the offensive line coach. They were horrific, I thought, in that first quarter right there. Really worried about that and really disappointed that they came out that way. But having said that, it's going to be a process with Zach Ertz. I did think that we came out and Cliff Kingsbury wanted to throw the ball against the Texans. Now, there's a lot of teams that have tried to do that, but man, I think you got to try to stay balanced. And the reason why you want to be balanced is to protect Kyler Murray above all else and not make it a one-dimensional offense where all of a sudden you got guys teeing off and coming after him. And I think we actually saw that early.
Yeah. Wolf, I think you hit the nail on the head. It was weird to see so many pass plays early on. And I thought the struggles, Luke, with the offensive line early on all came in pass protection. If you look at the numbers as the game wore on, they did a nice job in run blocking, 145 yards combined for Connor and Edmonds. I thought it was, maybe you could chalk that up to Cliff Kingsbury's absence. He talked about, you know, things felt funky and disconnected. maybe that was part of it. They were able to overcome it.
Yeah, and maybe part of it is just Houston had nothing to lose. I mean, there were a few plays where they took some liberties with Kyler Murray. I thought even on the safety, he got tackled by his face, which isn't always the most legal way to tackle somebody. But what do they care? You know, what does Houston really care if they get a penalty called? Whereas the Cardinals, that's a much bigger deal if your quarterback's hurt, certainly. So if they go out there and struggle on the offensive line against Green Bay on Thursday, then we may have, you know, reason for concern. But they're a very good offensive line. I don't know if they're truly elite to the point where we can expect them to be great every single week.
Mm-hmm. Let me just jump in there and say that schematically, I really do believe that the run-pass ratio, guys, is going to be really, really important going forward. Because once again, if you're a defensive coordinator, the one thing you want is for your guys to be physical, especially with Kyler Murray. Be physical with Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. You get a shot on him, take it. Now, you can do that legally. There are, it's a legal, quite a legal thing to do, to tell your defense, you get a shot on it, go ahead and deliver. Make sure you get your pound of flesh when you hit Kyler Murray, because we know Kyler Murray from time to time has been in that blue tent.
Yeah, that's a great point, because he's getting a lot of hits to the head, a lot of clotheslines. People are taking shots. You're absolutely right.
You know, we're just taking some liberties honestly. Right. And I think the way to protect him, the best way to do it, is to stay balanced.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Wolf, but Bick and I had this discussion too, and I think we're of the same belief. Five or six times this year, it looks like Kyler Murray has received an extra level of protection from the officials. When those hits do happen, that he'll draw a flag where other quarterbacks don't. I'm not complaining about
right.
it. Especially when you consider what happened to Zach Wilson yesterday in the Jets game with two really questionable calls that knocked him out. Neither one of them was flagged. Do you see that unfolding? Kyler getting the benefit
honestly,
of the doubt?
Vinny, I'm going to tell you, I haven't really noticed.
Okay.
I haven't really noticed him getting the benefit of the doubt. I do think he's shorter than most quarterbacks, and because of that, maybe he takes a few more shots to the head than a lot of other quarterbacks. I don't know. I haven't noticed that, but I'm not saying you're wrong.
But 7-0, Wolf.
No. Oh. We all saw this coming,
just like
right?
We all predicted.
Yeah, I predicted 8-9 at the beginning of the season. I think I'm going to be wrong.
I hope you're going to be wrong. You know the way they've come together. It really speaks to not only the concerted effort in the offseason to bring in leadership and physicality, but also to the front office.
We'll be listening, guys. Wolf and Luke up next. We'll catch you tomorrow here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.